When do you start Christmas shopping? I know there's some people, my mother-in-law starts in July. And I could do that, but I would probably break out in a rash. That's a little bit too early for me. Now, the way I was raised when I was a kid, and now I don't want you to, you know, think poorly of me. It was before I had a driver's license. So when I was a kid, our family did all our Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve. Now, you talk about pressure. We knew pressure. And so that's when we all did our Christmas shopping. And we were just texting with my siblings, reminiscing about that earlier this week, about those years doing it that way. And so, you know, sometimes you have a plan and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But no matter how you plan, things don't always work out. I had a great idea this year for a present for our children. And our last full family picture we had made into a puzzle. And we ordered it like a couple of weeks ago or so. And it looked like it was going to be here in plenty of time. And then it came 3 days late. We ordered three puzzles. It came 3 days late. Notice I said it. One came. We ordered three. So a lot of emails back and forth, and they said, we'll overnight it. That wasn't overnight. And it came, the other two came a day late. And it's like, oh, no matter how you plan, like, you've experienced this, right? You plan and you think everything's going to be okay, and then things fall apart. It reminds me of Cecil B. DeMille. I don't know if you know that name. He was a director and producer. If you remember Charlton Heston in The Ten Commandments, that was a Cecil B. DeMille film. And he had these epic films. And one of them, he had this small town that he had purchased, and he was going to blow a bunch of stuff up. And it was just going to be this massive scene of this, you know, this old brick chimneys, really tall industrial things on a factory. That was going to blow up and fall down, and this was going to blow up. And they had one chance to capture all of this. And so he said, lights, camera, action, and things started blowing up. Fires started, everything happened. And then he went around to the different cameramen. And he went to the first cameraman. He said, did you get that? He said, I'm sorry, Mr. DeMille. Right after it started, I ran out of film. Oh. So he went to the second cameraman. He said, did you get that? He goes, Mr. DeMille, there's something wrong with the camera. I didn't get anything. So he goes to the third cameraman. There's only three cameras. He went to the third cameraman. Did you get that? And he said, ready when you are, Mr. DeMille. What do you do? What do you do? That's what happens. No matter how much we plan, things don't always work out. So what are some plans that you've had in your life that didn't exactly work out the way you planned? What are some things that you, maybe it was a family vacation, maybe it was a time with your spouse and you planned this special weekend, and things just didn't work out. How frustrating was that? Planning is hard because we don't control everything. So, what do we do? When it comes to the third surprise, we've been looking at surprises at Christmas. When we come to the third surprise, we're going to learn the most important aspect of planning. To do that, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. They were what? Surprised. Everyone was surprised. He called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then King Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It was ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house. They entered what? The house. Not a manger. It was a house. And so this is probably about a year or so after Jesus was born. And saw the child and his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it came time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. So, who were these wise men? They were a wealthy and very powerful group of men. They were scholars. Some of them were priests. And when kings had questions, they would come and help kings. Imagine consultants. We would call them a team of consultants. And a king would say, "Hey, listen, we have to tax this group of people. We don't know exactly how to do it. I'm in negotiations with another country. I want to be sure it goes well. How do I do that?" And he would call these wise men, and they would come and they would give advice. It's these wise men. They traveled with their own personal army. So, how many was it? Was it three guys on a camel? Three guys on a camel would not have gotten the attention of all Jerusalem. It was probably a group of 50 to 100 people. And they showed up in Jerusalem, and everybody was asking questions. Who are these people? What are they here to do? So where did they come from? How did they know to look for a newborn king? And how in the world did they notice one new star? How many times have you looked out at the sky at night and go, "Oh yeah, did you see that new star that just appeared?" I haven't done that. Most people don't do that. So here's the background. Israel disobeyed God. And they misbehaved so long that finally God said, "All right, you're out of here." And they were sent away into captivity in Babylon. And Babylon is east of Jerusalem. These men came where? From the east. And so while they were there, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he wanted his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. See, he was afraid if I told them the dream, they would just make something up. How do I know they really are interpreting the dream? And he said, "You tell me the dream and then interpret it." And they were like, "Nobody can do that." And they were like, "If you can't do that, I'm going to kill all of you." And so when Daniel heard about this, he said, "I got this. I'll pray and ask God." And God gave him not only the interpretation, but God told him what the dream was and then gave him the interpretation. Daniel 2:46-48 is the response. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery." This is actually a part of the Christmas story. Then he goes, "Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its," what? "Wise men." Daniel was in charge of all the wise men of Babylon, and he was over the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the astrologers. What do astrologers do? They spend all their time looking at the stars. And some of them would take, you know, how do you study the stars? They would take a map of the known world and superimpose that on the stars. And say, well, you know, if we would do that, we'd say, you know, so this star is Warsaw, and this star is Elkhart, and this star is Michigan City, and, you know, and like that. And so that's how it may have happened for them. But there were astrologers as a part of this group in Babylon, and then they were conquered by Persia. And then 600 years later, 600 years later, wise men saw this new star and remembered that tradition was passed down. Can you imagine waiting 600 years? What are you waiting for? We pray and we pray and we pray for things and we wait and we wait and we pray and we wait and we pray. And we wait, and the children of Israel did that for hundreds of years. God is not slow. Your prayer is already being answered. You just don't know about it yet. It's on its way. God's not slow. It'll happen at just the right time. Here, what's the point? Here's the big surprise. God goes to extreme lengths to pull off his plan. God goes to extreme lengths to pull off his plan. So, several things that he does. First of all, he starts early. This is a nod to those of you who like to start your Christmas shopping in summer. God starts early. Well, how early did God start? At the very beginning. At the very... How far can we go back in our Bibles? How about to Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. Then the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this..." Done what? Tempted Adam and Eve to sin. "Because you've done this, you are cursed more than all the animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live, and you will cause hostility, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head." What is that? That's Jesus' victory over sin and death. Genesis chapter 3, God is talking about Jesus. "He will strike your head and you will strike his heel." What's that? That's the crucifixion. He's going to die, but he's going to have victory over sin and death. When man sinned, God had a plan. And since God knows the future, he's always ready. And here's the thing that... So he starts early, but he adjusts for our failures. He adjusts for our failures. Can I ask you a personal question? Have you ever blown it? Like really blown it? Me too. Me too. And ruined everything, right? I guess that's it. And we tend to feel like that. But God is sovereign. Do you think that Hitler or Mussolini or Saddam Hussein could thwart the sovereign will of God? Do you think that those men could do that? So what makes you think you can? You can't thwart the sovereign will of God. If you're trying to do your best and you're seeking God and you blow it and you mess up and everything is ruined, God is still God. He adjusts for our failures. And then He coordinates everything. Everything. The wise men were just one aspect of God's planning. There are dozens of prophecies that talk about how Jesus would be born and what He would be like. There was the political environment that made that the right time for Jesus to come. There was the Roman infrastructure. They built roads. The Apostle Paul needed those roads to go to all the places he was going to go. The roads were there. Everything was in place. The language was there. The culture was ready for what they brought. He coordinates everything. He coordinates the timing. The wise men saw a star at just the right time. And here's what's crazy about that. What are you looking at when you look at the stars at night? What are you looking at? It's ironic. My daughter's travel plans back from South Korea got messed up, and we had to go and pick up them. And so I'm driving back from Lafayette with my son-in-law, and we're talking about the stars. And he gave me this thought. It's like, what are you looking at when you look at the stars? What's the answer? History. When you look at the stars, you're looking at history. Our sun is 8.5 light minutes away from Earth. Here's what that means. If the sun blows up, we won't know about it for 8.5 minutes. Right? It takes that long for the light to get here. The closest star to us is Alpha Centauri C, or Proxima Centauri. It is 4.24 light years away. And so if that star blew up today, we would have to wait 4 years and 3 months to see it. 4 years. So how far away from Earth was the star that the wise men saw? We have no way of knowing, but let's just say it was 8 light years away. 8 years before they were supposed to see a star, God made it appear. That's pretty cool. God had that in place in advance. God has the timing ability. That's great timing. God has it under control. God coordinates everything. He coordinates people. He got the wise men trained in advance. He had Daniel in Babylon. He had Mary and Joseph and Herod and the shepherds. And remember, it was the sin of God's people that sent them to Babylon. And God used their sin to get them in the place and used all of that. They didn't mess up God's plan. God uses our sin, God uses our failure, and God uses our faithfulness. Maybe you're not buying this, but wait, there's myrrh. Actually, there's gold. There's resources. The wise men gave them gold. Why did they give him gold? Because gold was a gift of honor, because he's going to be a king, because Jesus is king. But that paid for an emergency trip to Egypt. They had to flee there. How could they afford a trip like that? They had gold. They gave him frankincense, which talks about the future. It's a resin, aromatic resin, that they would give that symbolized his priesthood, because Jesus, as we read in Hebrews, was a high priest. And they gave them myrrh, which is a strange gift. It's like formaldehyde. Happy birthday, here's formaldehyde. You use that for embalming. That's what they use myrrh for. It's a very strong smell that covers up the stench of a dead body. That's what they use it for. So that's one of the weirdest birthday presents you could ever give, right? Because Jesus would suffer and die as our sacrifice. Those gifts were talking about the future. God coordinates everything, timing, people, resources, and the future. Think about this straw as though it were time. And this whole room as it were the presence of God. And we walk through time in this direction and in one direction only. And we can only see the past. We can't see the future. And God looks at our life from all these angles. God looks at time from all these. And so let's say we're right here in time. God looks at things in the future and in the past. He looks at things from this angle and from that. And God sees time in a completely different way than we do. And God pulls all of these things together. God has that perspective that we can't even imagine. And He pulls it all together. Here's the bottom line. You can fully and completely trust God. You can fully and completely trust God. He's got all these things coming together. And you don't know why that's happening. And you don't know why this is happening. But it'll all come together. And then we'll go, oh, right. Right. All kinds of bad things happen. There was a young couple. They just got married. And they went on a honeymoon in California, in this forest. And it was, they were expecting this great time in a cabin, but they were ruined. An animal attacked them. And it was relentless the whole time. That animal did damage to their cabin and allowed rain to come in. It was loud and annoying. And it frustrated them the entire time. You know what the animal was? It was a woodpecker. And it drove them crazy. And they could have gone away from there saying, this is the worst thing that ever happened to us. Oh no, our life is ruined. Guess what? That was actually life-changing. They were the couple that came up with this annoying little character called Woody the Woodpecker. That annoying thing, that frustrating thing in your life, God will take that thing and use it to accomplish something in your life that wouldn't have happened if your life would have been easy street. God's at work, and He wants to transform your life so that He can transform other people through your life. Would you stand with me? It's often through our crushed dreams and broken hearts that God speaks most clearly into our lives. And it's then we learn to depend on Him.